Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 99 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We are Amber and Val. If you have just joined us for the first time, welcome, welcome. We are glad you are here. Thank you for listening to the show.
Why are you starting so late?
If you start with us, don't start at episode one. Start at like episode 15.
Even go up to like 35. Just forget the first 20 episodes exist and then we're golden.
We've gotten a lot better at this over the years. We've been doing this for 4 years now. 4 years. We'll start our fifth year in January.
Good gravy. Has it really been that long?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
That's how many times I've had to renew the website.
Oh my goodness. Amber, I think we need to have a talk. We might need to be considered, I don't know, maybe going on different pathways. 4 years is quite a long time. I don't know if this relationship can last.
Oh my god.
I think we need a break.
Oh, we need some time off. No, we're going to be doing this forever and ever until we either run out of time, money, or sanity. Pick
or
two.
Things to talk about.
That's cosplay. There's always going to be things to talk about.
There's always something. If anything Tumblr has taught me, there is always something to talk about.
Tumblr, Instagram, 4chan.
Oh, God. Tumblr. Oh, not 4chan. Not 4chan. 4chan bad.
Anyways. So welcome to episode 99. Most of our big stuff you guys are actually going to see next episode in 100, but we do have some lovely content for you guys today, including an interview and a product review. So stay tuned for that. But first and foremost, cosplay updates. Do you have any?
Kinda. We'll make this the cosplay / crafting updates because I've done outside crafting things. So my fabric for my Queen Amidala coat, which I was talking about last episode, has finally arrived, and I've been in the process of testing out the new cone technique, which requires me to use elastic thread. And I've bought 10 of these suckers. I'm going to have to buy way more because just one of these, I got through maybe about 60 yards of the thread, and I've only made 4 cones. I'm going to need a heck of a lot more of the elastic threading here. So while I go and pilfer a couple of websites to find more black elastic thread, I have been testing out my cone shape. Ooh, pretty. So the type of stitch that this is called is the trellis stitch, and you either start in the center or you start on the outside and you just make one giant spiral. When you get to the end, you take it all out, and then with the thread that's on the bobbin side, the elastic side, you pull on it. And then you get this cool little cone shape. So I've just been testing it with a couple of different tensions to figure out the stitch length, what type I want to use and all that. So I think I've got something down that I want to use. Now it's just a matter of cutting out the fabric and making all the circles. last time I stopped counting after about 500 or so circles. Someone had mentioned that they made 4,000 of them. I don't think I need 4,000 cones. It'll probably be on the realm of like 1,200 to 1,500. So yay, this is, I don't want to make any more circles. I'm tired of circles, and I haven't even started this yet. I'm tired of circles. Amber's laughing at me. Okay, so the other thing that I've been doing is I've been making and painting pumpkins. Look pretty, yay. This is not normal for me, by the way. I like to make scary pumpkins. This is too cutesy, but there you go, crafting. This is what I've been doing. Instead of cosplay, I've been painting pumpkins. Something is seriously wrong with me. There you go. There are my updates. It's so sad. I've just been so burnt out from Dragon Con, and I finally have gotten the spark to want to start doing stuff, and now I'm kind of sitting and waiting on samples that are a week late. So it's like, okay, what do I do now? I think I'll probably pull out my pattern for my Game of Thrones dress and start doing the mock-up for it. We'll see how that goes. I'm already exasperated just thinking about it because it's a big arse pattern and I'm really afraid to use it.
I've actually started planning not a new costume, but a modified costume because for those who know, this is the time of year where I go to Texas Renaissance Festival, TRF. And unfortunately, due to circumstances at work, it's really hard for me to get coverage for time off. So I may not be able to go the weekend that I was originally planning on going. the one where you've seen me sewing on the green ranger coat. That was what the ranger coat was for going to TRF, either 1001 Dreams or Pirate Weekend. But it's looking more like I may go Celtic Christmas weekend because I will have that time off, which is Thanksgiving weekend. So what I've started to try and do is to put together a Christmas outfit, a medieval Christmas outfit.
That'll be
because
cute.
everything is decked out in Christmas old school style. And so I have a white chemise already that I actually wore at GlitchCon last year. So I can still use that. It needs to be hemmed because it was dragging on the ground and that makes it really hard to walk. So I need to rehem it because I'm short. And I actually already have a mulberry red corset that laces all the way up the top. So I'm going to try and coordinate a bunch of white and red type of accessories. So I need to make a pair of gauntlets out of wine-colored fabric. I'll probably use my Sif leftovers since it's about the same color. And then I have to make Elizabethan jewelry. And then I'm going to take a headband, a red headband, which I already have, and do poinsettia kanzashi and do some pearl dangles from it so that it's very beaded, Victorian, ornate, without being uncomfortable, because I need to be able to wear clothing underneath it. Is this going to be kind of chilly that time of year? So, you know, I have to wear pants underneath the chemise. I have to wear an undershirt. And I need to somehow either get the fabric or use what I have to make a capelet, a Victorian type capelet. So it's all very, you know, medieval Christmassy.
That's cute. I like the idea.
So we'll see. I'm actually, for those who don't know, I'm in the middle of showing my house because I'm in the middle of trying to sell it. So random people are milling about my house, taking a look, seeing if they want to buy it. Unfortunately, literally my entire craft room has been packed up in boxes. I could move it tomorrow if I wanted to. So that means I can't actually work on said Christmas outfit except for dreaming up all the designs in my head because I can't unpack anything while I'm showing the house. It has to be completely, perfectly, spotlessly clean. So I have to leave everything the way it is in a box. It makes me sad because I want to sit there and do the kanzashi while I'm bored at work. But I can't because all my fabric's in a box. Because we have all that leftover fabric from Rafa.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
So I want to take some of it and make white lilies and red poinsettias.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
I have all the little gold and silver sprays that you can get in the wedding section to put in the flowers to make it all Christmassy. Yeah, I need to figure out some way to incorporate jingle bells. I haven't figured that out yet.
We'll come up with something devious. Like, do you want actual bells?
Well, not bells like bells. Like the round globe jingle bells that jingle a little bit when you walk.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was like, do you want actual real ones or do you want to have them implemented in your costume like as an applique or something?
I would not mind the small ones, the ones that kind of instead of gling, 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 gling.
Nice sound effects.
Because I'm going to be walking around the fair and I don't want to annoy everybody to death. That's why I want something subtle. So even
this would
if
be
it's
a
just
perfect time for Google Effects to start doing its thing, but of course they don't have appropriate sound. They have a doorbell.
I mean, even if it's just like a little ring of them around my boots, like a little anklet or something, just, or even hanging from the dangles on the headband, just something tasteful.
Yeah, that could be cute. I like this idea.
Yeah. See, kids, you don't even have to always make new costumes. You can just do closet cosplay, take what you already have, put it together in new ways, and then just make new accessories. Because it's less to store, it's less to have to make, and you can get it done quicker.
You can always repurpose costumes for multiple reasons.
And when you're done with the costume, if you don't want to sell it, you can always break it apart and recycle the materials. Use them for other things.
I've saved many zippers that way. Especially after my costume purge over the past 3 months, so yeah.
That works. Well, that's all I got for cosplay updates.
This is the first time that Amber and I have been together in quite a while, so I'm trying to be goofy and to get her to laugh.
I've had family stuff that I've had to be dealing with on an unexpected basis. So sorry, guys. It's not that I didn't want to be here. I love you all. I had to be at home helping family. Family comes first.
So it was probably for the best, because it was mostly me talking good and bad about Dragon Con for about 95% of the episode. And then the other 5% was PAX Prime.
There you go.
You didn't miss much. It was just me talking.
All right. Well, in good news, we actually have a special interview for you guys. I had the chance to sit down with Ijen of Cosplay in America. If you guys haven't seen it, please take a look at their website, which is www.cosplayinamerica.com. And so I went and sat down with him about his new book that he just came out with. He's actually on a book tour, and he'll be coming to a convention near you. So please enjoy. Hey Potters, we have a special guest for you guys today. We have Ijen with Cosplay in America. If you guys have not had a chance to take a look at Cosplay in America, you guys can head over to the website. But for now, just wanted to give you a brief introduction. So we'd like to welcome Ijen to the podcast. Welcome, Ijen.
Yay! Thanks for welcoming. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, we've been trying to get you on for a long time because we know that you've been very involved in the cosplay community. So if you would, please tell everybody just a little bit about who and what Cosplay in America is.
Cosplay in America is a book I started back in 2009. I actually traveled the country in 2009 for 5 months, and I came out with a book in 2010, totally self-financed on credit cards and a bank loan. So this is before Kickstarter even existed. So, wow, I predated that thing. So basically, here's what happened. I went to Anime Expo 2008. I saw all these great cosplayers. I knew what cosplay was from the start, but it's one thing to look at a picture of a cosplayer, and it's another thing to go to a convention and actually go talk to a cosplayer. So when I went to AX08, I was like, look at all these amazing costumes. Look at all these amazing people. Look at the one thing that really got me was the fact that there was just, it was almost like a microcosm of society, you know, different race, different shapes, different sizes, different ages, different everything, all mixed together under the love of fandom and cosplay. And so to me, I was like, I didn't know if people knew about this. And this is before social media really, really took off. So I was like, I'm going to make a book about this. And I made a book about it. So I spent the next few years traveling around the country to promote the book. And by the time the second volume came out, social media had really exploded, and it's kind of a different landscape than it was like a few years ago. It was kind of funny, you know. In the beginning, everybody talked about cosplay.com. Now I don't even hear people talk about cosplay.com anymore. So I'm like, anyway. So yeah, so that's basically it. So it's a book about cosplay, and there's also a social media aspect to it: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know.
And of course, conventions have changed a ton, even from before the first book until after the second book. It's just become a completely different animal. And I know that you've been to, you know, dozens of conventions taking thousands and thousands of photos of all these different really talented cosplayers. How did you pick and choose which ones would go into each of your books?
That was a hard choice because I have so many pictures to choose from, right? But, so when I did the first book, that was 2008, 2009, and at that time, cosplay was more of a Japanese-related type media, so it's video games, anime, and so forth. Well, now we're 2015, and now it's anything can be cosplay, you know? So to me, I had to make sure the book kind of represent more of a broad scope of cosplay, so that meant comic books, anime, video games, just TV commercials, movies, books. It's like, it was really hard. My first draft was almost 500 pages. And I was like, I can't put a 500-page book. It's got to be closer to like 270, 280. So it took a long time to really put it together. But I think I did a good general overview job of what cosplay is in America at this time. And I would like, I think of it as a yearbook, you know, personally, because it marks what cosplay is in around like the early to mid 2000, 2010, 2015. So I guess for history, they can now reference this book as like it's a yearbook in a way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a history of cosplay over the last decade.
Yeah, well, 4 or 5 years, actually. Well, three years. I shot for 3 or 4 years, you know, so. But it's really amazing because some people I took pictures of in 2012, they're not cosplaying now, because when I asked if I could use a picture in a book, they're like, oh, I don't cosplay anymore. And other people are still doing it, you know, hardcore. So it's a, it's a very fluid. People come and go all the time. It's a ever changing hobby, and I'm curious to see what cosplay is like in another decade from now. You know, who knows?
And of course, your book has been available at conventions because you do have an artist alley table at a lot of these places, or maybe a dealer stand table. So you've gotten a chance to see a lot of the different changes in cosplay and to watch the cosplayers as they meander through. So what's it been like being on tour at all these different places?
It's really great because I had a chance to interact with people in person, because, you know, it's one thing to sit behind a computer, but it's another thing to actually go to another country. I'm sorry. Well, going to some other parts of the United States could feel like going to another country. And for Texas, that's his own country. You know, I know that. I'm from Texas. It's really great because you have a chance to just try different, like, you try different foods. You go talk to different people, and it's really great. People should really travel for conventions and just explore the country, even internationally, if they can. You know, so yeah.
Yeah. So you've had a chance to meet a lot of people. Your book has been in a lot of places. I noticed that it's now starting to show up in comic book stores.
Yeah, this is a little bit different from the first book. My first book, I waited a year before I put it into comic book stores. Now I kind of put it into comic book stores right away. For those of you guys out there who want to get a copy, I would suggest you go to your local comic book store and have them order it for you. I mentioned before that I'm more about a community and local community, and so I'd rather have you go support local vendors, local stores, than support. I mean, I have a day job, so I don't really need money, you know, per se. I like to have more money, but I'd rather just have you go to your local comic book store, basically. If you can't get it that way, you can just order online through me, or just find me at a convention and like that. So yeah, cosplayamerica.com.
Yep. And of course, when you go to the website, you can also see some of your photography work, as well as some of the exhibitions that your book has been in, which has got to be really cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. I have another exhibit, Artist Thingamajiggy, coming up October 24th in Los Angeles. And there'll be more information as it gets closer, but I'm kind of excited because it's also kind of like a exhibit / book release party, because I was so busy this year, I haven't even done a book release party yet. So yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's got to be fun.
It's exciting, but yeah, it's also nerve-wracking because you're juggling all this stuff behind the scenes. And I'm like, how do I keep these balls juggling? Like, I need to sleep somewhere. How do I sleep, you know? How do I juggle while sleeping?
convention goers will tell you sleeps for the week.
I can sleep when I die, then I can sleep. Until then, I can just keep going, you know. So the rest of the year, I'll be at Anime Week in Atlanta. Then I'm going to New York Comic Con. I'm actually going to Expo TNT in Mexico City. That's Mexico's largest anime convention. I'm not selling a book there, but I am fascinated with how they do cosplay and conventions, because, you know, conventions are a very American thing. You know, the first sci-fi convention was 1939 in New York City. We've kind of imported the culture across the world. And it's like McDonald's. Like, you know what McDonald's tastes like in the United States, but when you go to Japan, Germany, and so forth, it's always tweaked a little bit to the culture. So I want to go to other countries now and see how they tweak the culture of cosplay and culture and convention culture to their society. And so I hope to make videos and interview cosplayers. So it's more of an educational documentary thing than me selling books, because I'm not selling books there. I just want to be a con goer in Mexico City. So and after that, I'm going to Designer Con in Pasadena. And I think that is it for this year. Next year, I'm trying to get into a bunch of conventions, but Artist Alley is now a lot harder to get into than it was 7 years ago. And so it's going to be kind of, okay, we'll see what happens, you know.
No worries. So if you guys, the Potters, would like to see Ijin at your local con, you can always contact the convention and ask them to invite him. Alternatively, if you would like to purchase his book, as he said, you can either head over to www.cosplayinamerica.com, or if you'd like to support your local bookshops and comic book stores, please head over to them and ask them to order the book for you so that you can purchase it through them. You can also purchase it at his Artist Alley table at conventions. If you do happen to see him, stop by and say hello. If you do happen to see his book at a comic book store near you, please take a picture and post it on social media, because that would be awesome.
Please let me know, because I honestly have no idea where my book goes at all. They don't tell me this stuff. So when people tell me they saw it in like Okay, so I went to Amsterdam, and a girl came up with a copy of my book, and I was like, how did my book get to Amsterdam, of all places? So I was like, okay, I'll sign it. I think that's
really cool.
That's the only book I've ever signed in Amsterdam ever. So, you know, but it's really amazing what technology and community can really do. You may think that what you're doing may not affect other people, but what you do can affect other people in positive and negative ways. So, you know, I always want people to be aware of who they are and what they do, because you guys, all of us, are representative of the convention and cosplay culture out there in the United States and the whole world. So when you talk to other people unaware of it, then you kind of have a responsibility to kind of, you know, guide them in, you know. So I always try to tell people that, because, you know, like, I always meet people like, cosplay? Wait, can you tell me about this? And, da, 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 da. And then they have weird ideas what cosplay is about. And I'm like, no, that isn't exactly, that could happen. Not technically, sometimes, not really, da, 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 you know, and you have to explain this whole thing to them. But, you know, so be the change you want to be in your own community.
Excellent last words. Thank you so much for being on the show. We've really appreciated your time, Ijen. And of course, we encourage Potters, please go out and spread the book.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
And we're back.
Yay.
Thank you again to Ijen for sitting down with me and giving me a bit of his time. We did have some tech problems recording that, so I do apologize. We actually had to record it twice. But we made it, because I refuse to let technology defeat me.
That sounds like a bumper sticker. I refuse to let technology defeat me.
I do it for a living. If technology defeats me, I have no reason to be doing it for a living.
My life's purpose.
My life's purpose is gone. Yeah. No, but Potters, we actually have a special surprise for you. Ijen has actually offered one of his limited edition copies of Cosplay in America. You can see it here on screen.
I'm going to be Vanna White right here. It's this particular one. Yes. And for those of you who don't know, this is actually an extra special cover. You can still see the original cover underneath. Aha.
This is something you cannot purchase anymore because it's limited. This was for the Kickstarters that actually kickstarted his book. But he has one that he is willing to give us to give you all. We're going to go ahead and do a giveaway. Keep an eye on our social media and our website for the link with instructions on what you need to do to get this awesome book, raffle style.
Yay. And you guys already heard me. Present. Yeah, you guys already heard me talking this sucker up. This is a really fantastic book. So even if you don't win a copy, you have to find this and you need to buy it. It is definitely worth the price. It's such a cool book.
And like we mentioned in the interview, a lot of local bookstores and comic shops are starting to carry this. If yours does not, please ask them to carry it. A lot of them will special order it for you. So support our local shops and ask them to order the book locally for you. All right. So contest on, man.
As soon as Val has the time to actually make the image to go onto our social media.
I mean, that's why we ask people to keep an eye on our stuff.
Exactly. It'll get done, I promise, sometime this week. So just watch out for it. It is coming.
Yeah, we always want people to come to the website, just glance around, see what's going down. Because we do occasionally announce things on the website if you don't watch the show that you may miss. All right, so last but not least this episode, since we are getting towards fall, and fall usually means the season of giving, we wanted to go ahead and do a quick cos philosophy on service and charity for cosplay. It's about this time of year that Extra Life usually does their video gaming marathons, which is you play video games for 24 hours to raise money for the Extra Life charity. And we do have a lot of friends that do this.
Me included. And
indeed. There are a lot more teams this year. I know a lot more video gamers. Some of the esports pros are getting into it as well. I know quite a few cosplayers who do it in cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Which, being in costume for 24 hours can be kind of brutal, depending on what you're cosplaying at the time. Pick something comfy.
I'm not going to be doing that. No, thank you. It'll probably be in my PJs. The camera is only going to hear see me from here up anyway, so we're golden.
I mean, it can be kind of funny to see somebody in a Peach costume playing Super Mario Kart. There is something kind of
No. It's better if it's Peach who's playing something like Diablo. The exact opposite.
You see this big Bowser cosplayer playing as Toad. Yeah, it is cute, but there's many other ways to perform service if you are a cosplayer. You can either do it via the making of costumes, because I know that there's Capes for Kids, which is a program where you can sew personalized superhero capes for young kids that are disabled. And you can always Google that. They have others where you make little superhero outfits, like full-on outfits for the preemies. I can't talk today. You can even make little geeky goods like Super Mario Star pillows. You can make mushroom pillows. You can make quilts. You can do any sort of, you know, sewing type goods for kids that are in hospitals, that are disabled, that are homeless, foster kids in shelters. Any of these are worthy programs, and we really do encourage you guys to participate.
It's also a great way to get rid of a bunch of scrap fabric that you just happen to have, like me, for example. And part of my costume purge is also part of my fabric purge. And it was funny, when Amber brought this up, I immediately typed back and I was like, I actually sent out a couple of emails just this morning to a couple of charities to see what their qualifications were for their fabrics, because a lot of these places only want cotton. Or they only want them to be, you know, this certain length, or they need to be pre-cut, they need to be pre-washed. So definitely check and make sure that you read up on all the rules first before you go out and make your donation and find out that none of your fabric qualifies. But there are certain places that are pretty lenient about what type of fabrics you can take in. I know Quilts of Valor is one that I support, and I've worked with them in the past. They're really good about accepting most types of fabric, because what they do is they repurpose it for different types of quilts for those who are returning from overseas who are veterans. So that's kind of cool. And they do a variety of either like standard cotton quilts. I've seen some fleece ones. They've actually made a couple out of all leather before. Those were kind of nifty. And then another one that I was researching just earlier today, it's called Ryan's Case for Smiles. And it's making pillowcases for cancer kids. And several hospitals around the country all participate. And it's just, you know, you fill out the form, you make a pillowcase out of cotton or fleece or kid-friendly fabrics. Show up to the hospital, drop it off, they'll take care of the rest. So, good way to repurpose a lot of scraps, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not into the crafting part of it, and you would prefer the performance part of it, you can join any number of groups that make special guest appearances at events. Or they will actually go into hospitals and visit the children's ward to kind of give the kids a bit of a pick-me-up. I know that Princesses for a Purpose in Texas does this. And there are other groups like the 405th, the 501st. They have various superhero groups I know in the DFW area. There's a handful of them that all dress up in their costumes and they will go visit kids. Or when Christmas time comes, they will deliver gifts to the homeless in costume. There's a lot of marathons this time of year now that the weather is getting better. Marathons for superheroes that raise money for charities. You can even do things like the Susan Komen, the Race for a Cure. You can do those in costume. They do sometimes the Angel Trees for impoverished children, where they'll go and deliver the gifts. Right around school, because school just started for a lot of kids. They'll have the superheroes or even Star Wars characters go and deliver backpacks full of supplies for the kids for poverty-stricken schools. I mean, there's all sorts of service opportunities for cosplayers, whether it's making them or being in them. So we really do encourage all of the Potters, and I know this is a bit serious, but you can have fun with these events. You really can. And a lot of them can be very moving events, very emotionally moving, because these are human beings, fellow human beings, and the kids get such a kick out of seeing their favorite characters come to life. I mean, Frozen was a huge thing in hospital visits last year. Very funny.
So Sorry, I made a face. I don't like Frozen, and I still haven't seen the movie. So
no, but the kids do, which is all
the
that matters.
The kids do. It's fine. The kids like it. It's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, some of these kids are in hospital wards for months at a time because they're undergoing chemo or radiation treatment. They can't leave. And so nobody comes to see them besides family. It really does make their day and probably their week and their month if Spider-Man went to see them and maybe brought them a little Spider-Man action figure. $10. We're not asking anybody to spend money, but all we're saying is that these opportunities are there. Service is a wonderful thing, and we always encourage people to do it. And if you can't actively do it yourself, please consider donating to somebody else that does, for example, Extra Life.
Say, always give back, always look for new opportunities. Think about karma. Karma is a great thing. Karma does always come back to us. If you're very fortunate in your life, help out those who are in need. And if you can't find something that you want to do, you realize there are a bunch of organizations, but they're not really into like the stuff that you're into, start up your own. Find something that you want to do and do it. Because there will be somebody out there, some charity that will love it, and they'll take it in, and they'll want you to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much. Even $5 is still plenty sufficient. I mean, consider, you know, the amount that we all spend to go to conventions every year, the amount that we spend on travel, that we spend in the dealer's den, that we spend on cosplay.
I'm cringing.
Taking $5 from that and contributing it to a worthy charity instead. You'll feel better for it, and you'll really be helping somebody on the other end. So, go cosplay service.
Oh, there's our social awareness. There we go.
I mean, I've seen some fantastic pictures. I mean, if you've seen the pictures from the Super Bowl bet, where the Seattle Seahawks and the Patriots, Chris Evans and Chris mm-hmm. Pratt, mm-hmm. they had their gentleman's bet. If you've seen the pictures, those kids are, their minds are blown because the actors went in costume. They had no idea Captain America and Star-Lord would be there. But you can just see it in their face, just how extraordinarily happy they are. And all it took was a visit. I mean, the kid got to hold Captain America's shield. That's all it took. It doesn't even have to be a real thing. It doesn't have to be a real shield. It can be a prop. They don't care.
It's one of those things where you have those memories that last a lifetime. And even as a kid, I know that I still remember when I went to Disney World when I was 8 years old. I don't remember much else from my early years, but I remember that. That's something that will always stick with me. And it's the same thing for kids. If they see Captain America or Batman walk up to their hospital bed, they will remember that for a lifetime. And that can be a life-altering moment for them. And that's the coolest thing about it.
I've seen quite a few stories on Facebook. I don't know if this is what you were going to talk about last time, but recently there's been a few stories posted. One was actually Cosplay in America, of cosplayers who touched others' lives. Because I remember reading the story of a sibling of this person wrote in to Cosplay in America. Their sibling was disabled. I believe it was mentally disabled. But they saw a cosplayer at a con who I believe was dressed as Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And this person just went gaga over seeing such a great cosplay. And that was all the sibling ever talked about constantly, was how they met Cloud, how they got a picture with him, how they got to touch him. Just in love with the fact that they got to meet this person. But the post later said that the sibling had actually passed away. But that was the memory they took with them, was meeting this cosplayer. So cosplayers, I would say, just always bear in mind that you may be touching someone's life and you don't even know about it, because the Cloud cosplayer didn't even know that the person had passed on, but that they saw that note and cried because they realized just how much impact they had on this person's life. And we can do that as cosplayers. We can have impact on these kids, these young people's lives, just by being a character for a couple of hours. You can change their life literally. And that's a great thing.
kind of add on to it, since you mentioned that it was at a convention, this actually happened at Dragon Con of all places. There was a woman who was dressed up as Olenna Tyrell from Game of Thrones. She was definitely a woman of age, probably in her 80s or so, and she made her wheelchair into the actual Game of Thrones thing. She was probably one of the sweetest, nicest ladies I had ever met. And she was so surprised that so many people were coming up to her wanting her photo because she'd never dressed up before. But she had like these little nuggets of wisdom to every single person that she talked to. And I was like, even for those 2 minutes that you get to talk to this woman, you can change someone's outlook. And it's just like, that's so cool. That's what we do for kids. I mean, essentially, that was just in a convention setting, but we do the same thing for kids when we dress up and go visit them. So.
Mm-hmm. Changing lives one at a time.
While dressing goofy.
That too. But it's fun. I mean, we all do it for the fun. And if we can happen to bring that joy into someone else's life as well, I say do it.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also consider that at Halloween too. If you have a house and kids come by your door and ask for candy, sometimes hamming it up in character as you're handing them the candy really makes their night.
I do this.
It's the little things. You don't have to be exactly in character. I mean, no one's going to criticize you if you get it wrong. But just kind of have fun with it. They'll enjoy it too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I did this before with my Sith costume. Some people thought I was from Avatar, and I was just like, really? I held up my lightsaber, and I threatened to bang him in the head with it. That was enough for them to get the message. But, like, this year I'm thinking about doing the Evil Queen when I'm handing out candy. So you know I'm going to be hamming up the crud out of that. That's going to be fun.
Heidi was dressed as Zero Suit Samus at Retropalooza, and somebody asked her if she was an Evangelion.
Ah! Really? Oh my god, that's funny.
So guys, you may get mistaken as something else while you're cosplaying, but it's
that
okay.
All the time. It's really funny when it does. Like, I know I do obscure characters, but when I do something that should be fairly well known, I just kind of put a head tilt and go, really? Okay. It's funny.
Yeah, I've had it happen a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for you?
That's all I got.
All right. Remember, guys, please keep an eye on our social media and website for that post so that you guys can participate in the raffle to win the limited edition Cosplay in America book from eGen in Cosplay in America. Also, keep an eye here in this space because next month we are recording episode 100. We've already got a roundtable of people lined up for you so that we're going to talk about the future of cosplay. Thought it would be a very appropriate topic. And of course, if you guys have feedback on the future of cosplay or anything else about the podcast, if you want to send us well wishes via email for our episode 100 after 4 years of recording, you can email us at podcast@cospod.org. You can also post on our Facebook. We are not accepting audio or video submissions at this point for episode 100 simply because we won't have time to edit them in. Alan, we did get yours. You're good. But for everybody else, written messages are perfectly fine. We invite you guys, let us know what you guys have enjoyed or not enjoyed about the show for the last 4 years. Hopefully positive comments, please. Anyways, we will see you guys in 2 weeks for episode 100. See you next time, guys.
Bye, guys.